I think that most of us are pretty well aware of the fact that apathy, in general, is a national problem, if not a world problem in today's world. The word apathy is described by us, by Webster, as want of feeling or indifference. And we see this in reality in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 14 amongst God's people. As we read from the text here, we find, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter the fortified cities. Let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. As was so often the case with Israel, on this occasion, having turned away from the Lord, they were being rebuked for it. Why? Because they had not been responding to God's clear warnings against them. What did they do? Well, the fact is, they sat still. It wasn't that they did anything wrong, they just didn't do anything. They just sat still. And in our lesson this morning, I would say that we have to say without any doubt that sitting still is clearly a picture of apathy. No question about it. It is apathy. I would like for us this morning to give a little bit of time to the question, why are some sitting still? I believe there's a lot of different things that we could say about this, and probably you'll think of more of them by the time I get done with this lesson that I didn't bring up. But I think that for some people, the reason why they sit still is it's just a matter of not caring. They just don't care. As the prophet asked some of those in the book of Lamentations, in Lamentations 1 and verse 12, is it nothing to you, all you have passed by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of His fierce anger. And those who sit still to that reply, no, it isn't anything to us. It isn't anything to us. They just don't care. And we see a lot of this in the world around us today, unfortunately, in situations where things are happening that need some type of assistance, whether it be police or some type of physical assistance, and the people just walk by and don't care. They just don't care. And that's not the way we as Christians are supposed to act. There's no place for that in our lives. Apathy doesn't belong there. But that's the reason why some, though, are just sitting still. It's because they don't care. Also, there are some who are sitting still because they're waiting for directions. They're waiting for directions. They have to be told what to do. I think it goes without saying that some just can't seem to get anything done unless they have someone to tell them what to do. I remember this term coming up in a management, it was a military management class I was in, and they talked about self-starters, people who didn't have to be given every detail of what to do. They looked for what to do and figured out how to do it. That's a self-starter. But those who are sitting still, well, I can't get anything done. Nobody told me what to do. And that's their excuse. That's their excuse. They just sit there and don't do anything. And you know, I would have to say that in my observation, and maybe yours too, many of those in that category are babes in Christ. They're new Christians, if you will. And understandably, they may need some direction because they don't know what to do. But, of course, that's no excuse. We need to be the ones who are giving them that direction and helping them to not sit still. Some who sit still think they've already done their share. They've already done their share. I actually have heard this, and I don't know if you have had the pleasure of hearing this before, but I've actually heard some older Christians say, I've retired from active service. I used to wait on the table, and I used to lead the prayers, and I used to do all this, but I retired, and the younger folks are doing that now. Or, and I know this is a little bit fatalistic, some say, I have served my time. Now it's your time. And thus, they excuse themselves. They just sit. They just sit. But then there are others who sit still because, quite frankly, they're discouraged. They're discouraged. And many times they get discouraged because they have tried and tried and tried with no success. And so what do they think? Well, they think they're failures. They think they're failures. So they sit. They sit. They don't do anything. They just sit. And of course, and you knew we'd get there, there are those who sit still because they're waiting for someone else to do it for them. They're waiting for someone else to do it for them. In fact, some who are sitting, who are of this mind, don't want to be discerned. Let someone else do it. And thus they seem to think that they're justified. But there's another category here, and this is an interesting thought. This is the category of those who are afraid. They're timid, if you will. They're afraid. And you say, well, what are they afraid of? Well, they're afraid they might make a mistake. It's called fear of failure. And fear of failure holds a lot of people back in this world from success in their careers. Pretty hard to be a successful salesman if you suffer from fear of failure. You know why? Because I'll tell you, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. It's going to happen. If some of the baseball players that have been so well known, I'm not talking about the ones on steroids now, but some of the baseball players who have been so well noted for all their home runs, if they stopped because of fear of failure, they never would have made it. Guess what? They have hit more or had more strikes than they have had hits. They've had more strikes than they've had hits. But that failure did not put a fear in them. They kept on trying. They kept on trying. And that's one of the things, by the way, that was pointed out in one of our lessons here. We keep on trying. We don't just sit down and say, well, I tried once and it didn't work, so I'm going to sit. Other people are afraid because they're afraid what others might think. If I got up there in front of the congregation and I read a scripture, I might read a word wrong. And what are people going to think of me? Well, they're going to think the same thing. They think of the preacher who reads words wrong. They're going to say, oh, stumbled on that one. But guess what? I would have stumbled too if I was up there. You see? But people don't want to think that somebody thinks less of them because of the fact that they might make a mistake. I'll just tell you before you get up, you're going to make a mistake. If making mistakes was enough to cause people to sit down, Stephen wouldn't have been up here preaching this last week. Because guess what? He makes mistakes too. Fact is, we found two of them in one of his sets of charts. We got those corrected, by the way, online. We got them corrected. But this happens. You can't let that discourage you and make you sit down just because you are afraid you're going to make a mistake. But in this same category are those who are so ashamed of themselves that they're afraid to do anything that might call attention to themselves. Think about that. They know how they live every day of their life. They know what they think about every day of their life. And they're afraid that if they put themselves forward to do anything in service to the Lord, that people are going to start noticing them and they're going to get caught. When I lived in an area where there were quite a few congregations, it wasn't unusual for us to be aware of what we called church hoppers. They did not want to be under the authority or oversight of any eldership, nor did they want to be identified with any congregation, because then they might be expected to do something. And most of all, they might be expected to be there. They wanted to float. They wanted to float. And I knew at least one of those cases why they did. Because I knew how they lived. And they didn't want to be accountable to anybody. None of these are good things. None of these are good things. But you say, well, is there any case where sitting still might be good? Well, let's look at some reasons for sitting still. I would suggest, and most of you can relate to this, that rest from hard work is a good reason to sit still. I think it is. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 talks about renewing their strength. What does he mean? You work hard, you got to renew your strength. You need to rest and recuperate. And those who work hard need to do that from time to time. In fact, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, we find Jesus and his disciples resting. Resting. Why? Because they were tired. That might be a good reason. But you know, sometimes it would be good for us to sit still so we can pray God for help and pray God for wisdom. James very plainly tells us in James 1, verses 5 through 8, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Might be a good idea to sit down from time to time and pray. No doubt about that. But sometimes it's a good idea to sit down and plan for our next endeavor. Jesus recognized the value and the wisdom in counting the cost in Luke 14:28. Don't go into a war without counting the cost first. Don't build a building without counting the cost first. And that's going to require you to sit down and do some figuring. Sit down and do some figuring. But some need to sit still to meditate on God's Word. Stephen used this passage several times in the past week. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or anything that is praiseworthy, listen to it, meditate on these things. Now, some of your versions say, think on these things. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think about something without meditating on it, can't you? Yeah. But the real meaning of the word there is to meditate. And I don't know, maybe I'm just this way, but I find it much easier to meditate when I'm sitting still. Because I don't have any distractions. I'm not worrying about driving or anything like that. I want to meditate, which means I want to focus on what I'm doing. And he says, meditate on these things. And notice the promise in verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. And I believe that with all my heart. But there are also times when it is proper to sit still, to weep or to mourn. The writer, identifying himself as the preacher in Ecclesiastes 3, beginning with verse 2, down through verse 8, talks about something that we have actually heard reflected in popular songs even. But notice in verse 4, he says there is a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. Weeping and mourning may be on our own behalf for something that has befallen us. Sometimes we weep and we mourn about others whom we love and care about. And the fact of the matter is, there's a time for that. It's very, very, very distressing to me for someone to tell me that they are unable to mourn or unable to weep. Because all of that emotion is somewhere. All of it is somewhere. Now, I'm of the persuasion that God put tear glands here for a reason. And it's more than just lubricating your eyeball. I believe it's a natural emotion. I was brought up to believe that it was an emotion that men could not exhibit without appearing to be weak and sissified. I learned better. Of course, my kids think I'm a big ball baby now. But anyway, I try to keep that under control as much as I can. But there's just some times that I can't. But there is a time for this. There is a time for this. Not that we become overtaken by it and lose all sense of what's going on around us. But there's a time when we need to grieve and we need to mourn. Because what happens to you emotionally when you don't, it builds up inside. And it can sometimes cause some very serious emotional problems. And problems that can manifest themselves in many different ways. When we do the things that God put in us, and that is to grieve, to mourn, to weep, it helps us to deal with those things. It helps us to deal with them. I didn't mean to get too far off a field on this, but I had to deal with it because it's something dear to my heart. Sometimes it's necessary to sit still, to examine ourselves. Sometimes we just need to take inventory and examine ourselves. Now notice, I didn't say examine everyone around us. We need to look at ourselves. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 very plainly. Listen to it. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. We need to do that on a regular basis. Take inventory. And be honest. Be honest. Don't just inventory what you want to see, but inventory what's really there. What's really there. But there are a number of good reasons why we should not sit still. And the first one is obvious, I think. And I think it was impressed upon us throughout this past week of lessons. And that is, we should not sit still because there is work to be done. There's work to be done. Many of you know that one of my favorite passages of Scripture of all times is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Why? Because it talks about this. Wherefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know your labor is not vain in the Lord. What does He want? A little bit of work? Just enough to get by? No. Always abounding. That means overflowing. in the work of the Lord. And you know what? You have this reassurance that your work in the Lord is not vain. Not vain. It will accomplish what you intend to accomplish when you work for the Lord. You will do it. I'm impressed with this. I want to abound and be busy doing what the Lord calls upon us to do. Not sitting down. Not just sitting down. A second reason why we should not sit still is because, quite frankly, laziness is condemned. Laziness is just flat out condemned. In Proverbs 18 and verse 9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. And of course, we can go throughout the Proverbs, by the way, and talk about go to the ant, thou sluggard, and all of this to get a picture of how God looks at it. But I want to run right over to the New Testament, to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Paul was talking about people who refused to work. And you know what he said about them? If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. In other words, no time for laziness. No time for laziness. There's plenty to be done. But you know, I think there's another reason why we should consider the importance of not sitting still in this world is because Satan is always active. Satan is not sitting still. Satan is busy. And he's busy working to get you and to get me. With that idea in mind, we must not let ourselves just sit. We have to be active. Why? Because, as Peter says, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have to be on guard. We have to watch. And by the way, Satan never takes a vacation. I just let you know that. We always must be working in order to be sure that we're prepared whenever he tries to take advantage of us. But probably one of the more important reasons I can think of that we should not sit still is quite simply, if we do just sit still, our souls are going to be lost. That's a pretty good reason not to sit still, isn't it? Pretty good reason. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 21. I got it right on target. Try 21 through 23. Sorry about that. I never make mistakes. 21 through 23. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many are going to say to me, Lord, we did all these mighty works in your name, Lord. And the Lord says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What do we learn from this? Those who do not obey the will of the Lord, which means they're going to have to get moving, are going to be lost. They're going to be lost. Can't just sit around. We have to be busy. But another important thing, and this is closely related to what we were just talking about, is that no progress is made while sitting still. In fact, if you stop to think about this, the road that we are traveling is actually uphill all the way. Uphill all the way. And you know what happens when you sit still too long when you're going uphill? You start sliding backwards. Yeah. You do. You have to keep on going. And there's plenty to do. Around us everywhere, the poor and the afflicted need our help. And we're, according to Galatians 6 and 10, to do what is within our ability as individuals to everyone. Yeah. Do we care about the people around us? Do we do anything for them? God intended for His people to be busy, folks. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And you know, if we're not busy, and I mean busy, engaged in His service, quite frankly, we're not living up to our purpose for being created in Christ Jesus. Think about that one for a minute. We are not living up to our purpose in being created in Christ Jesus if we are not busy. So you might say, well, just exactly then, how do some sit still today? Well, you know what the first thing I thought of was? Those who sit still during the invitation song and refuse to obey the gospel. That's how some sit still. They refuse to respond in obedience. Well, what are the results of that? Well, unless they do, ultimately their souls are lost. Simple as that. Ultimately, their souls will be lost. Others sit still when it comes time to give to the Lord, as we have done this morning. They just sit still. And consequently, what happens? Well, the work that is to be done in the local church suffers as a result of it. Or, as in some cases, others have to sacrifice to pick up the slack. Some sit still when there's work to be done of a temporal nature, such as, just as an example, taking turns to clean the church house. Taking time out when we have a cleanup day to come down and put your work in and effort in on that. Some just sit still. After all, they have a life. You know? They have a life. They have their own house to take care of. I actually had one fellow one time, whenever we were talking about having a work day on a Saturday, he said, well, I'm afraid that I can't come. I said, why not? That's my grocery day. That's the day that my wife and I go to get groceries. And I just can't come. I thought to myself, is the grocery store only open certain hours on Saturday? So they have to hurry down there and get the groceries? Wouldn't they still be there afternoon when we're done working at the church house? What it really amounted to was they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. Something else was more important to them. And it's sad that so many people are so selfish that they think that they can just depend on others to pick up the slack while they're sitting still and doing nothing. That's really sad. But sad also is the fact that some sit still whenever they're rebuked for sin. And they never bear fruit which is suited to repentance, as John said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Bringing forth fruits that are worthy of repentance or suited to repentance. And there again, what are the results? Souls are lost. Souls are lost. So, let's just pose the question as we bring the lesson to a close. Why do you sit still? Are you sitting still for a good reason? Like you want to meditate? You want to pray? You want to plan? Or is your sitting still for some less than honorable reason? As the old hymn we sang just a few minutes ago says, soldiers of Christ, arise. You don't tell the army to go sit down, get comfortable, lean back, take a nice cold drink of tea. Well, if you're in the South, I guess it'd be sweet tea. But anyway, you don't do that. You tell them, get up, get your armor on. There's a battle ahead of us. Let's get going. So, we need to get up and get to work. I chose this lesson specifically, and in fact, as I worked on it and talked with Stephen about it during the week, for a, kind of a wrap-up of what he was trying to tell us this week. There is work to be done. And this work pertains not only to the church today, but the church of the future. Now, what are we going to do? Sit and let it happen? Or are we going to get to work? Really, it's up to us. It's up to us.